Order of Battle is an excuse for a couple of friends to get together and discuss G.I. Joe, as well as other hobbies and interests. I'm Jason, with me is Joel, and we welcome you in joining our conversation. This time, we're looking back at 2019. I evaluate the year. I've done this for a couple of years, and I used to do it at the same time as trying to plan the next year. For you and I'm really just kind of focused on the collecting hobby review, not my whole entire life. Right out of the gate, I wanted to highlight, for me, a huge accomplishment. After 2018, you know, I evaluated how much I spent on travel. And by that, I mean the cost of travel, room and board, food, extraneous things like tourism or whatever, and then toys and comics. Just the second half of 2018, I spent quite a bit of money. What I wanted to do in 2019 when I sat down and planned that, and I'm not apologizing at all for what I did in 2018, it was a blast. In 2019, I wanted to not travel less, but spend less. I can tell you because I track my travel to the penny. I don't track everything I do or everything I buy, but when I travel, I do. In the entirety of 2019, I spent less than the second half of 2018.
Well, I would say you crushed your goal then.
Yes, and not by a small amount either. It was a big amount, and we're still talking like when I look at my spreadsheet of all the places I traveled this year, 20 different trips. Not all of those are like flying across country. None of them are flying overseas. Many of them certainly are road trips. Road trips still have a cost. Hoteling still has a cost. Food and everything else. Everywhere I go, I'm always looking for comic shops, toy shops, you know, video game shops, something. To me, it was an enormous accomplishment to lower that outbound cost and yet still be able to travel as much as I did. That traveling, you know, afforded me a lot of fun, a lot of rejuvenating time, as well as some great items. That was from the very beginning what I wanted to highlight as like my largest accomplishment. I don't know what your goals were for 2019, and I don't know what accomplishments like you put near the top. Mine were clearly like spend less. What did your 2019 look like in that kind of high level?
I set the goal right before I actually met you that I wanted to take the plunge, start trying to make it to some of these, you know, regional shows. You and I have talked about before, I'm sure there's a recording somewhere. I missed out on the last JoeCon and the couple years before. Just wasn't something I could do. I had set out a goal, like I wanted to make it a point to actually travel to these Joe-centric shows where I could meet people in the community. My first truly toy-centric trip that wasn't a trip I could piggyback going to a couple toy shops on was going to the Super Ohio Toy Show in Fairborn, Ohio. It was actually at the same hotel that CoilCon was at. And it was a good start because it was in February. So it was, you know, right at the beginning of 2019. On top of giving me that, you know, that itch of like, okay, well, that was awesome. Now I want to go to the next one. I got to find another one to go to. It also... there was a conversation that led to an event that pretty much changed my entire collecting focus. It was actually funny because I started walking down the first aisle and there was like really not much for Modern Joes. And I had that like sinking feeling. I was like, I just drove like 8 hours to this show and they've got literally nothing. I got down to the end, the corner, the first aisle. I saw some Dollar General figures that I was looking for, like the Black Cobra Troopers. Grabbed a couple. I turned the corner, and it was over. I saw a booth loaded with Modern Joes. Just next to them was the Marauder booth. Around that is when I first ran into Hypno Shield in the toy department, and it was over from there. You know, it was like then I had to think about what I was spending my money on because there was way more than I could afford to spend. The other part of this is the show I first met James Cavanaugh Jr. at. I was talking to him about the Adventure Team 2-pack. And I said to him, I go, I really want that Coil Zodoom figure. I really want the Black Spider Rendezvous figure. And he just said to me, he goes, I've been collecting Modern Joes for a long time. If you want that 2-pack, order it. He's like, I have a strong feeling that that Coil Zodoom figure is going to skyrocket as soon as they're not available. on our drive home, I ordered the 2-pack. Getting those two figures in hand completely shifted my entire collecting focus and customizing focus for the entire year and still into 2020. You know, besides your revamping your budget and trying to traveling more on a smaller budget, what is the next, 2019 topic you want to talk about?
I traveled, as I said, about 20 times this year. Part of that was, I went to Joelanta where, we had just talked to Ed about upcoming Joe Fest. So I got to meet him for the first time. We were already aware of each other in the community, which is why he agreed to come on and talk to us back in February. I was in Dallas where I got to meet a bunch of people that I interact with on almost, daily or weekly basis. Then we were in Joe Fest. I got to meet Cujo from Joburg and then also meeting the File Card brothers. Then we're in St. Louis and I'm meeting more people. Kentuckiana and meeting more people. And then, I hit both CTSs this year. ICCC in Nashville. I know that's not really a travel, but it was certainly a show that I attend. It's not a travel because it's 30 minutes from home. But I got to spend a lot more time with Ron and Jenny Rudat, which I had already been privileged to spend a few hours over breakfast with them at Joe Fest. Being able to follow that up a couple months later with my son. And then, at CoilCon, where we've already talked about, meeting Mike for the first time, running into Chris McLeod at CoilCon and at Assembly Required, and I'd only met him once before, met Patrick Stewart for the first time this year at Joe Fest, and then have run into him at subsequent shows. It's just this sort of continuation of meeting people that I'm already deeply friends with for the first time, or some of our community creators, just continually running into them over and over and over again to the point where it's, hi, we know each other now. I don't know. It's just been kind of a fun part of 2019. It's not a new thing for me because I already meet a lot of people at shows everywhere I go for the last 20 years with a lot of comic shows and a lot of this and a lot of that. But with the Joe community, because I'm still less than 5 years in the Joe community, not less than 5 years in G.I. Joe, but less than 5 years in the wider community, I'm just now meeting a lot of these folks that have been around for 5, 10, 20 years.
I've talked to you about this extensively, talked about it on here. I'm not by any means a shy guy. I play in bands. I have a decent social life. I also don't like to interject myself in conversations that I'm not a part of. It is an ongoing goal to try to organically work my way into meeting people in our community, not just creatives, but just people in general, without, feeling like I'm barging in and throwing myself at people. A big part of traveling, whether it's toy related or not, is I always try to find a toy shop to hit on the way of wherever I'm traveling. So later on in February, I was going back to Columbus for a couple of days to hang out with my friend and go to a couple of concerts. And anytime in Columbus, I always go to Big Fun. I was snooping around the store, and unfortunately, it was one of those times where most of the modern stock they had already come and gone. And I am looking through the case, and I see a vintage Steel Brigade. And I immediately text you.
I remember this text.
And I was like, hey, I'm going to ask him for some pictures, but if you're interested, but this is the Steel Brigade he has the patch, this is the price. So you immediately respond with, hey, I hate to be that guy, but ask him to see it, take it out, see if there's a gray background you can put the figure on. I need to see the picture of the backpack. I need to see the picture of the gun. And I was like, hey, no problem, because there's literally nothing else here for me to buy. And that's also part of the thing I love about traveling in with the few Joe friends I have. And we touched on this on the CoilCon episode, but if I know there's something you're looking for and I see it, the first thing I'm doing is pulling out my phone, hitting the text. If you hadn't have responded to me, I probably would have called you until you picked up, because I recognized that the price was pretty fair. That was kind of fun because the guy who I was talking to, I explained to him, I said, hey, I'm not a vintage Joe guy. I'm a modern Joe guy. I said, I got a good buddy who's interested in this figure. He's a vintage fanatic. I was like, I got to send him some pictures. I said, you got, and he goes, oh, I understand. He goes, that's a big price tag. So he pulls it out, horseshoes the shit a little bit. And it kind of, it turns out he loosely knows who you are and you loosely know who he is.
Yeah.
So I'm sending you the pictures. And you're like, hey, well, tell him that version, whatever he thought it was, doesn't exist. If you look at the guidebook, it's technically version this. I just show him my phone. I show him the picture you send me. And he's like, okay, well, I do have the outdated book. I said, okay, here's the next problem we have. I said, this backpack belongs to Tiger Force Duke. And he goes, well, hold on a second. He runs over to the case, pulls out a Tiger Force Duke, brings it over. The backpacks got switched. It must have come in the same collection. We switch the backpacks. I send you probably 35 photos. It's good to go. It's got the patch. It's got the original mailer baggie. The seal has been broken, obviously. But you immediately hit my PayPal. I buy the figure, and my favorite part of this whole exchange was I sent you another series of about 20 photos where I meticulously wrapped the Steel Brigade figure with bubble wrap around the legs, put the arms down over the bubble wrap, wrap the arms in tight, take the gun, wrap that in bubble wrap and tape it, put the backpack in bubble wrap, wrap it and tape it. I put a 3¾-inch figure into one box, completely surrounded with plastic bags and packing material. Put that in a second box, completely surround that with packing material, and get it in the mailbox.
If only more eBay sellers knew how to package like that. My favorite part of this was when you started sending me these texts, I was getting ice cream with my son, and I'm texting you while driving through a Lowe's parking lot and calling you because I can't text while driving, looking at pictures, and doing all of this on the fly through, you know, our cameras, and we really didn't know each other that well at that point.
We were probably just maybe a month into talking, like, pretty regularly, like,
at most.
At that point, we were talking like 2 or 3 times a week, texting fairly often. I actually did buy the figure before the PayPal came through, so I'm glad you turned out to be the person that you are. Otherwise, I would have a vintage Steel Brigade in my collection that I didn't really want, or not that I didn't want, but wasn't something I was planning on spending money on.
Yeah, that was my second or third Steel Brigade version B with the correct patch.
That kind of piggybacks into the next thing I wanted to touch on with 2019, which was I made it to Joe Fest. I turned it into a bigger vacation. It made Joe Fest itself that much better. You know, a big highlight for me coming to Joe Fest, besides just the insanity of Joe Fest, was that we were going to be able to actually meet and hang out. Joe Fest was a wild time. It definitely set my mindset in, I want to be at more of these shows. I don't have to be as focused on having a fat amount of money to come and buy every single thing I could ever want. But, like, you know, I got to hang out with you. I got to be a fly on the wall and with some of your buddies and just listen, hang out. I was in the lobby till 1-2 in the morning. It was awesome. It kind of set the bar by any means, because I've heard about all this stuff for years, just listening to all the G.I. Joe podcasts. And it, like, to be there and to see that it was exactly how it was described, but more magical because I was living it instead of listening to it. You know, it kind of also redirected my 2019 mindset of, yeah, I don't have to worry as much about buying as just hanging out.
That is almost my verbatim motto when it comes to shows.
It is definitely a very different mindset and a different feeling. And it's like almost like a stress reliever. You do find the better deals at shows, but if there's anything you want, I mean, we live in the internet age. You know, if I want something bad enough and I have the extra money, I can find it. You just have to be patient. But kind of into that topic, you know, I know the next topic you want to bring up, so I'm going to throw it to you.
As we finish talking about how we both are going to go to more shows to be more social than to buy all the things, the next thing I was going to bring up was my wildest purchases of the year.
Well, I'm looking, because I know what your purchases are. Both of your standout purchases were not made at shows. They were made via the internet.
That is true.
And I'm looking at mine, and it's exactly the same.
Everybody's different, so these might not be wild for everybody, but for me, these were the wildest purchases of the year. The first one, G.I. Joe-centric, was I finally was able to land a mock V1 Destro. I had been hunting for a couple years. I'd had some near misses. I had sort of backed up when Destro started getting close to the 800 mark. In the end, he wasn't. And so I was able to pull the trigger at something much less than that that I felt very comfortable with and was able to score my first V1 Destro. The other thing, which to me is much wilder, I was able to score something that I didn't know it existed until this year. But the moment I saw it, it was an item that I had wanted since I was like 8 years old.
This I'm very excited to rehear about because you and I were talking daily at the time when this item presented itself to you.
Yeah.
And it also kind of mirrored a weird purchase in my life that wasn't on my list that is going to now be added to my list. But please take it away.
It was a bit out of my range and there was a whole lot of stuff going on when this showed up and I was dragging my feet and I talked to you a bunch about it. I talked to a couple other of the people that I'm really close with in the Joe community. One of the guys that I'm really close with said, "You've been going back and forth for 20 days. Shit or get off the pot. If you love it this much, just do the thing." So it's the 1978. I think the company was Nomura. It was the bridge of the space battleship Yamato, which here in the States, we got rebranded and dubbed over as Star Blazers in about 1980. And it was a cartoon, or I guess an anime, that used to come on in the mornings before I would go to school up in Seattle, Washington. As a kid, I wanted a Star Blazers toy. It just wasn't available. I don't think they ever released anything in the States. If they did, I've never seen it or heard of it. And this was sort of the pinnacle of anything I could have wanted. I love it. The sound still works. I might have to tweak a wire to get the lighting to still work. The chair's 360 swivel. They also recline back, and you can scoot them forward and back on the bridge. It has a full computer panel, gorgeous, and there's three chairs. And then it has these cardboard inserts so that you can change what's on the screen. It is not the kind of thing that you would give to a child. It is very much a display item.
It is beautiful. You obviously sent me tons of photos when I came in. I mean, it's a dream playset. I know nothing about the show. I saw it and was just like, wow.
It's a phenomenal playset. And again, it's a display only item because it's from 78 and it's Japanese and I haven't found another one. I would buy a second. Like, I love it that much. And I got the box with it. The box is so much better than our boxes, like the thickness of cardboard and everything else. There's only 5 figures that were made for this. Figures are hard to find, very expensive. And even though it's 3¾ scale, which is, again, another bonus, but the armrests on the chairs are just a little too thin for a G.I. Joe waist.
Oh, man.
I know. But because it's 3¾ scaled, you can just set them on the armrests and it works. And because I am who I am, I put it on the floor and I let my kid play with it. And he played with it like all night long. He pulled out, because it was so rare, right? He pulled out his Tiger Force Outback and he pulled out some Night Force figures, all of the rare stuff that he has for playing. Yeah, Steel Brigade and everything. And he played with this thing all night. And then we put it away during this Christmas season. And I think I threw this on Twitter already, but I put Elf on the Shelf on the playset. And then I surrounded the playset with one good guy from a bunch of different toy lines. It is absolutely the wildest purchase of the year and my most favorite purchase of any toy that I've purchased so far. Even though G.I. Joe is my main, this is the one that is my most favorite toy purchase of everything I've ever bought.
And you didn't know it existed.
And I did not know it existed before July.
The week you decided to pull the trigger, I'm on Instagram. There's a local guy in my city that all he does is buy and sell drum stuff, whether it's modern, vintage, whatever. I've been playing drums since the 4th grade, 30 years old. I have 2 really nice high-end drum sets. Like, there are classic drum sets that'll stop me in my tracks at all times. I'm scrolling through Instagram. This guy posts this picture. Yeah, I just stop. Luckily, I saw it when I did. He had posted it within seconds. I didn't even DM him. I texted him. I said, hey, what's the scoop on this drum set? And he goes, well, it's an Apollo drum set. They're made in Japan. It's the best of the best from the 1960s student level made in Japan kits. I know you're asking me because it's the craziest color you've ever seen. It's real. It's original. It's in beautiful shape. You know, I'm just going to tell you right off the bat, I have to overcharge you because of this finish. I said, well, what are the sizes? What are the price? What's the price? He goes, well, I like to call this setup the kiss of death. He tells me the sizes, and it just happens to be the weird configuration that I like. To not leave it too cryptic, I like a certain size bass drum that's smaller than what most people play, and it's generally not paired up with the size of toms that came with this drum set. I have a hard time finding kits with the exact specs that I like because they don't normally come together.
And this one, oddly enough, from Japan, fit?
Yes. So one of the toms was an inch bigger than I normally play, but that's not a deal breaker. But I had a 16-inch floor tom, which is a standard rock size, and a 20-inch kick drum, which is generally used in jazz. He tells me the price. Like, I'm sorry. I've had 25 people already message me about this. We're friends. You bought a lot of stuff from me. You got first crack. And he goes, and on top of that, you messaged me within seconds of me posting it. And then he says to me, I got to tell you, though, I'm keeping the snare drum. I want it for my own collection. It's kind of a cardinal sin in selling vintage drums. You keep the set together. I go, it's cool, man. It is what it is. You have to promise me I get first crack if you ever want to sell it. And he goes, okay. I ask him just by chance. I go, you interested in anything trade-wise? And he goes, oh, always. He goes, just bring whatever you have in mind. We'll talk about it when you see the drums. I packed up everything I wanted to get rid of, go over to his house, I go in, he's got the drums set up. These look like they came right off the showroom floor in 1960. The guy who had them before was a collector. They were super clean, no rust, no pitting on the metal. There's a little bit of road rash here and there, as you'd expect from something from the 1960s. Before I even open up the stuff I brought with me to trade, he goes, I got to tell you, he goes, I had a guy message me about the snare drum. He offered me an insane amount of money. I got to sell it. He told me the price that the guy offered him. And I was like, there's no way. He goes, it's absurd. He goes, I would never have put that price tag on it, but he's offering me the money. He could tell I was a little bit bummed, but I already was kind of planning on not getting that anyways. So it actually worked out where I had enough stuff with me to pretty much call it even for the drums. We're setting up the trade, looking at the snare drum. He goes, you know what? He goes, again, I think this is too much. If you give me X amount, it's yours. And the X amount that he quoted me was about a third of what this guy offered him. Don't know why. It's not that special other than the color. The color is green onyx, which is incredibly rare. My old drum teacher, I sent him a photo. The first thing he said to me is, I've never seen a green onyx kit in real life from any brand. I've only seen it in catalogs. So I got the drum set just about the same time you got the play set. And it was a little bit crazy because they were both items that neither of us knew existed.
And we both were inundating each other with photos and stories.
And also just hyping each other up on pulling the trigger, because I didn't really need the drum set as much as you didn't really need this playset. So to kind of bring back my crazy purchases for our actual hobby, there's a guy I followed on Instagram for a long time. He's a customizer. He kind of fell off. He had made a post saying he was going to sell some stuff. About a month and a half later, I get a post notification on my phone in the middle of the workday. It's a pile of modern era army builders. Messaging him, tells me the price, and he goes, I got a couple other people interested. Let me know. You message me first. If you want it, it's yours. I said, sold. You know, I pay him immediately. The deal is great. And he says to me, so I'm pretty much getting rid of all of my modern G.I. Joes. He goes, I have a bunch of vintage stuff I like. I still don't know. You know, he's like, I'll keep in touch. About 2 weeks later, he goes, you know, I got to be honest, it felt great to sell that to you. and to know that like I could part ways with the stuff that I thought I couldn't. Here's the next lot if you're interested. If not, I'm going to throw it on Instagram. So I immediately said, yep, go ahead. In the process of that, he had made a really nice custom Quinn figure in Arctic getup. You know, I said, hey, is that Quinn figure still available? He goes, yeah. Scoop the Quinn figure. And he goes, you know, I'm going to throw in a few more customs for you just to say thank you. He sends the package, doesn't tell me what they are. I open it. I get the Quinn figure. It's beautiful. Great paint job. Great build. The customs that he sent me were a custom slice and a custom dice, which were two FSS figures I wanted that are really expensive right now. I immediately messaged him. I was like, hey, thank you so much. Like, I love these customs. You just filled two gaps I was going to fill with the FSS. Like, I don't need them now. This is awesome. Thank you. He's like, all I got left is pretty much my customs, army builders, and a few like named characters mixed in. I'm still on the fence about it. I'll let you know. About a week goes by. He goes, all right, I'm ready. I think the package ended up being like 12 pounds or something. It was, I think, 5 or 6 gallon-sized Ziploc bags stuffed to the brim with action figures. He threw in, you know, a gallon-sized Ziploc bag filled with accessories and heads and cast heads and just what I can't express how packed these bags were, but specifically that bag of like fodder was to the brim. I'm surprised he sealed the bag to get it in the box. That was pretty crazy because, you know, I essentially bought this guy's entire collection. I got to see the little kit bashing stuff he did, same stuff I do where you get a figure, you're like, well, I like this web gear better than this web gear, so I'm going to switch it. I like this gun better with this guy and this better with this guy. It was actually really fun to sit down and look at everything and kind of piece stuff back together that I wanted to piece back together, leave stuff the way I wanted to leave it. And it's, you know, it's like you're getting an inside view into somebody else's collecting style or customizing style. And then my last purchase of, not my last purchase of 2019, but the last notable one that is a little bit wild was I was able to score a sealed case of Retaliation figures. It's the Hasbro box, sealed. I cracked the seal. I pulled the figures out. Right now, the figures are still carded, sitting in the box on my bookshelf with my Order of Battle trade on top of it, holding the flaps down. It was an insane feeling to get a sealed case of G.I. Joe figures, crack the seal, knowing I was the first person on the retail side to touch these figures.
There is nothing like case fresh.
It was crazy. I still haven't opened any because I feel like I want to leave it alone for now.
Absolutely.
Kind of in the same realm of getting an insanely heavy package of G.I. Joe or of toys. You know, just recently my World War II Marauder figures finally landed. It was about 9.5 pounds. Yeah, I mean, it's wow. You know. It was kind of a surreal moment because I've been waiting over a year to get these figures, and I went in crazy. It was probably the first time that I ever threw caution into the wind and said, you know what, I'm going bonkers right now. Like, I don't care. I went in crazy high level on the World War II kit. Nicole was excited because, you know, we've been waiting for these to come for so long. It's kind of weird and surreal. I opened the box. I'm pulling out all these giant Ziploc bags that they very nicely organized the figures. I just didn't even really know what to feel. They were just there, and they're beautiful. The detail is insane. The camel pattern on some of these figures is like matches some of the jackets I have hanging in my jacket collection. To anybody who has ever done a massive Kickstarter, it was insanity. I know that there's in the rumor mill they have a Vietnam one coming. I want to do the same thing, so. Especially because the ties to early G.I. Joe, I'll be able to build that famous scene from the comics with Stalker, you know, Snake Eyes pre-Snake Eyes, well, Stalker pre-Stalker, Storm Shadow pre-Storm Shadow. You know, that's immediately where my brain went when they said that they wanted to do Vietnam, so fingers crossed.
Yeah, you sent me pictures of the World War II stuff, and it looked overwhelming.
So I think I've blabbered quite a bit. I'm going to throw it back to you. I'm going to hand the baton back to you.
I have some more toy stuff to talk about, but I'm going to take it back to people for a moment. I had mentioned meeting a bunch of people, but one of the things that I got to do this year that I haven't done in a while, and I haven't done it with toy friends ever, right around CTS, the Columbus CTS, not the Cincinnati CTS, 15 of us all got together at one person's house. We hung out every meal. We rode around and hit a ton of toy shops all the way from like Columbus down to Cincinnati and back. And we just turned the whole weekend into this just really rejuvenating brotherhood of, you know, collectors, where we were all just sharing and not sleeping. And we spent a whole day hitting toy shop, toy shop, toy shop, toy shop, toy shop. But we had started the day in the living room trading toys before we went to all these toy shops. And then after hitting toy shops for like 12, 13 hours, we're back in the living room trading toys before we go to bed, which was nuts. It was just this incredible time that I would recommend anybody figure out how to do. And I know the common comment when shows are talked about is the, when are you going to put a show near me? I can't find a show close to me, etc. Sometimes it's worth setting aside the time, the energy, the money to travel, even if you don't buy the things, to get together with your tribe, hunker around the campfire, tell lies and trade stories. And that's what that was. And that was a huge thing for me.
To just comment on what you just said, the first big toy show I went to was 8 hours from me. I did exactly what you said for years. Well, there's nothing near me. JoeCon is too far away. Joe Fest is too far away. This is too far away. This is too far away. When I decided to finally step up to the challenge of traveling, you know, I'm constantly trying to talk to you, see where your next move is. You know, you sent me not as many photos as you would think from this weekend because you were too busy hanging out with your friends in real life and enjoying the weekend. I didn't mean that in a way that we aren't friends, but I knew that your weekend was good because our communication wasn't there.
Yeah, it was a full weekend.
Every once in a while when you would have a free second to send me a photo of either a storefront or a picture of you guys in the van or a picture of you guys doing this, or like you were talking about the trading. It's 1 o'clock in the morning and all you guys are just squatting in the living room like a bunch of kids with boxes open, and well, I've got this piece or I've got this figure and you've got that. I'm not going to say I'm jealous as much as I would have wanted to be there, but it was like to hear about that and to see it was such an enjoyable treat for me to just like to know that that happened.
Something I've done with comic book friends in the past and video game friends in the past and so on and so forth, but I'd never done that with a group of toy friends. And all of these communities are wildly different and we communicate in different ways. And the toy community is very much about dumping everything you have into the living room and going through it in a way that none of these others are. Most of us met because of G.I. Joe, but not most of us are G.I. Joe main. And so there was Mask, there was Transformers, there was GoBots, there was Black Star, it was just on and on and on. There are so many toy lines that it became a little overwhelming, and yet it never became too much where I was like, oh, I'm done. I was always like, well, I could do 5 more minutes. Nah, 5 more minutes. You know what? I don't need 7 hours of sleep. I can do 6.5. Well, okay, 6:15. Okay, 5.5 hours. Okay, 3.5 hours, but we really got to get to bed, you know? And I wanted to pair that up with my 3 favorite people that I met new this year. I met a lot of people and I was really excited to meet some of these folks. And I talk about it when we talked about CoilCon and Assembly Required and everything. My favorite meetings was Ed, who ran Joe Fest. We had commented in discussions on Facebook for a couple of years together. We had never met before, you know, we sat down and talked to him, and then I got to meet him and Joe Lana. After Joe Fest, for about 2 months, he and I were texting back and forth pretty regularly. We both got busy. You know, we'll be after Christmas before his life slows down where we can chat some more. But he was one of the people that I didn't know at all. now I feel like I know pretty well. And then the other two, Paul from Plastic Battles, sort of met him randomly at CTS. I'm already a slow shopper, but having somebody that is willing to just stand in the aisles and talk for 45 minutes makes me even worse of a shopper. A little while after that, at ICCC, I sent him a Mexican Recondo, like, hey, here's how much it costs. If you want it, I'll buy it and ship it tomorrow. And he declined because he doesn't know me that well. We've had subsequent conversations since then, whether his Instagram Live or in PMs. We don't talk a lot, but we've talked four or five times, and it's always been just a really enthusiastic and genuine conversation where I feel like he, like you or myself or some of these others, is just hitting the passion hard. And on top of that, I like to look at his pictures. They're gorgeous.
Yeah, they are.
The third person that was sort of my favorite new meeting was Kavanaugh. You've talked about him already. I think I mentioned a little bit at CoilCon. I met him at Cincinnati CTS, talked more at CoilCon. And just every interaction felt like I was talking to somebody who just wanted to commune with the tribe and talk about stuff at a deep level, didn't want to focus on the negative, but really was just wanted to have a good time, talk about this shared passion. So those three guys, for me, were kind of the favorite people I met this year for the first time. And I look forward to hopefully running into Paul and Kavanaugh at future shows. And I'm sure Ed and I will be talking once Christmas season's over and his life has slowed down a little bit.
I have three people in particular, all people I met prior to 2019, but three people that I have become closer with in 2019. There's a guy... I'm going to throw his Instagram handle out because he makes great artwork. He sells artwork. Once in a while, he sells some stuff from his personal collection. It's DroArts/EnterTheDroJoe, and that's D-R-O on Instagram. I met him. He was running a sale. I knew he was friends with a guy I'm about to talk about. I said, hey, I want this, this, and this. He said, okay, well, if you're interested in those, I've got this, 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 this that I haven't listed. Let me know what you think. I'm interested in everything you just said. So we kind of sparked a friendship through purchasing. Instagram, internet friends, it led to exchanging a phone number. I actually had him do a custom Firefly artwork for me. I've showed you pictures. It hangs on my wall. It's surrounded by a bunch of figures. I feel I have the similar approach that you do with artwork. You know, he asked me if I had specific things I wanted in the photo. I said, all I care is that it's Firefly. I said, I'm hitting you up because I like your artwork. He did his thing. He sends me the package. He kept asking me, like, hey, did the package come in? Like, I've been tracking it. Let me know when you open it. I'm the same way when I send, you know, a personalized project to somebody. Well, I open it. I didn't know this was coming, but he did a custom painting of Nicole and I as, like, Deadpool.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah. So like the reason he was so giddy, it was because there was he put our wedding anniversary on there. It was awesome. He's a great guy. He's done some amazing G.I. Joe pieces. He's done some amazing turtle pieces, some just amazing ninja pieces. And on top of that, he's just a trustworthy guy to buy from. I trusted buying from him because I knew he was friends with another guy I've met on Instagram and become much more than just a buyer-seller relationship with. And that's Total Madness Customs. He turns everything into zombies.
I've been following him on Instagram longer than I've known you. I haven't purchased from him, but I love the stuff he's doing. It's weird and quirky and crazy. Some of it's gross, and all of it looks like he really knows what the hell he's doing.
He predates the Walking Dead craze. He's been a zombie guy since the 80s. The quality of stuff from his customs are fantastic. I have several in my collection. Our relationship started as he was posting a big Flash G.I. Joe Modern sale, and I pinched every little penny I had to buy as much as I could because the prices were right. And then it turned into a friendship. You know, it's a funny thing because I have his phone number, he has my phone number, but we pretty much exclusively communicate via Instagram. But we talk, I would say, on average every 2 to 3 days. I can vouch for him as a seller, but as a guy, as a friend, top tier, He is always looking out, like, similar to what we do.
Right.
The last person I wanted to give a very special shout out to is a guy I reference pretty much every time we talk on here, almost every time we talk offside of here, my buddy Joe. Same thing. I met him through, he was selling some of his collection. The first thing I purchased from him, I don't know why I remember this, but it's how my brain works. I bought like a lot of 6 or 7 Retaliation Night Vipers. Price was insane. It was retail price. I think he does what I do, where if he's trying to get rid of something, he's just, grab it. I don't need it. So I give him my shipping address, and it turns out he grew up in Rochester. We had a little bit of an ongoing conversation, you know, went back and forth about the city, and one thing led to another. We spent 6 months DMing almost daily. I watched the roller coaster of his collecting status. I bought a big lot of stuff from him. The rest of his personal collection, there were some customs in there. There was some stuff that he really liked. And then I was a little bit confused because in the mix of stuff that he was selling me was a Pursuit of Cobra Alley Viper test shot figure. So I had asked him, I go, okay, well, are you sure? And I said, well, the only way I can feel comfortable taking this from you, if at any time you regret getting rid of this, I said, it's yours for the very insanely modest price that you sold it to me for. And I was like, I need you to promise me that if even you wake up one morning and you just say, man, I wish I had that. Like, it's yours. Kind of mirroring the two stories I just told. A guy I met through buying on Instagram, we text daily. Anytime he comes through Rochester, we generally meet up and we're usually trading stuff, or I've got stuff that I'm giving him, or he's found stuff in storage that he forgot he had. Those three guys are people, well, the two of them I would like to meet. I'm going to try to make it to the SoCal Joe show so I can meet TMK out there, because I know he goes there every year. I know you and I had talked about trying to go there.
I would have loved to have made it this year, but it just wasn't in the card, sadly.
Yeah, by the time I realized when it was, there was just too much other stuff going on. I mean, overall for me, 2019 has been a home run.
Absolutely.
My number one highlight, as corny as it is like you and I becoming friends, you and I working on the show, you and I figuring out how to make this podcast work has been an insane story in itself.
We went around the block making it more complicated than it was necessary. For as much as we've done, not done, done wrong, done right, it worked out. It's been a fun year getting to know you. It's been a fun year getting to know other people in our community, buyers, sellers, collectors, creatives. And when we sit down to talk about 2020, I imagine a lot of it's going to be 2019, but more. I think we've exhausted our 2019 review, or we could go for another 2 hours because that's what we do. So let's call it right here. Let's say another episode of Order a Battle Down. And for everybody else, we would love for you to contact us and share your thoughts, your 2019 review, your favorites. And to do that, you can always email us at orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. You can also connect with us on social media platforms. Our Instagram is @orderofbattlepod, and our Twitter is @orderofbattlepd. Thank you for joining us. We've enjoyed talking to you.